Big questions, even bigger guests. This is The Big Interview. It's my pleasure to welcome our special guest for The Big Interview today, former Bafana Bafana, Mamelodi Sundowns, and of course, Kaizer Chiefs goalkeeper, Brian Baloyi. Spider-Man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, my brother, and yourself?
I'm doing good, I'm doing good. It's very hot to this side, you know, but we push through. I want to talk to you about this league season. You know, it's been an interesting campaign, particularly for your two former teams, especially. So we'll start with Sundowns. Who on this Sundowns team, which is a packed team, who has impressed you the most so far this season?
Without a doubt, it has to be Chambers Valley. Firmino has been flashes of brilliance here and there. My only problem with him is not gonna. Chamba, I think he's just picked up from where he left off last season. If he goes on the way he is, I think it will be difficult to unseat him as a player of the year. And yeah, he looks set on returning that title.
You know, he's one of the consistent things about this Sundowns team from last season. They've had a lot of changes, including the coaching staff. How do you think the balance has worked out so far? It seems to be going well for the trio of new coaches.
Yeah, I think so far so good for them. I think at first, when all this happened, I think we all were not only surprised, but we were all shocked when this announcement happened that Chris Compella is going to Sundowns, you know. And so we were all wondering how is this going to work out. And by the look of things, it looks like it's working out very well. Definitely, I know that he's been friends with both of the coaches. Manuela is one of his best friends, you know. On the one hand, Rolani is his protege, so I guess it was only natural that
and then, you know, of course, we've had some tragedy this season for Sundowns as well. We don't have to talk too much about it, but I would like to get your thoughts. I mean, as a career PSL player, you also know we tend to lose a lot of players to these sort of tragic incidents. What was your reaction to both Anele Nqonqa and Mutshaka Madisha's passing earlier this season, particularly how young they were?
Yeah, just shocked, yeah. Don't know how to react to such a thing, and for it again to happen to Sundowns in the same two players, I mean, it's unheard of, you know, and the two players passing on from, you know, same circumstances. If it was different circumstances, maybe another one was sick. But it happened, and I remember as I was a player, I found out and if Remy, you know, passed on. I remember how difficult it was for us as a team, to cope and really to come back to play again, to train. It really takes a toll on you, you know, mentally, physically. I can imagine what this players have been going through this year with two, you know, big players, influential players in their team passing on in this way. It's something that is really, I can only, you know, wish first, you know, my condolences to their families and to Sundowns. And myself personally, I mean, it was a month before Anele passed on, I met him in Midland. We bumped into each other at the butchery, you know, buying meat. And he was with his father and his uncle. Took pictures with me, you know, with his uncle, with his father. And when he walked into the butchery, he didn't see me. because we were wearing masks and all, this uncle was the one who spotted me. He went crazy, you know, and he was actually punching me with the Spider-Man. Why are you hiding so much? I'm saying, no, man, I'm not hiding. We're all wearing masks, you know, and they laughed. And we stood there, and I had a chat with him for almost an hour, because it was my first time meeting him before. You know, he was, you know, saying, hey, Hotman, you know, I've been, you know, yeah, my role model, and started talking about a whole lot of stuff, and he changed numbers. And I was looking forward to, you know, catching up with him, and it was a shock as well for me, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was one of those moments that we always try and remember them in the right light, but at the end of the day, it's this recurring tragedy in this league with these car and motor accidents. But let me not talk too much about that, because you are in a car right now, so I do not want to jinx anything. The youngster for Maritzburg United, Rushin Diruk, has been signed not to fill Madisha's void. He has always been linked with Sundowns, but it is a replacement that it's a centre back that they need at the moment. How do you think he'll fit into the Sundowns team? He's still a young guy. Do you think he'll have to grow in, or do you think that his time with Maritzburg means that he walks into that Sundowns team?
It always depends on the player. Some players go to big teams and they freeze. Some players go to big teams and they take the opportunity with both hands and they make it work. It's all going to depend on him, his attitude. There are, you know, a few senior players at the club that will help them to settle in. I think a lot of players for me that are signing for big clubs with this situation with COVID, I'm saying they're lucky, because it's a different ballgame when you're playing with supporters and when you're playing without supporters. So most of the big teams, you know, the supporters can be very cruel at times, you know, when you are trying to establish yourself and things are not going well for the club. If you're not doing well, they go beyond your case. And besides them being on your toes, I mean, most of these players are not used to playing, you know, on big crowds. I know Maritzburg, Friday night is always a spectacle in Maritzburg. But again, it's a, you know, playing for Sundowns, so he's part of it, it's a different ballgame. So players like him, players that are signing now in this time, I'm saying, take that opportunity and establish it so that by the time things go back to normal, by the time fans come back into the stadium, you already have established yourself in the team. So it's all going to depend on him, how he responds and how he takes this opportunity for him. So a big opportunity for him, it's a life-changing moment, and you need to embrace it and make the rest of it.
All right, so looking at Sundowns this season, they're still in the CAF Champions League, they're still in the Nedbank Cup, obviously in the running for the DStv Premiership. Do you think, you know, the CAF Champions League is a big ask, but do you think that they could perhaps repeat and do a different type of treble, this time continental?
The CAF Champions League, not a big ask, I think. For me, I think once you are in a group stage, in a group stage, anything is possible. I mean, from there, and we know sometimes they have the experience. Right now, with the COVID, I mean, we know most of the leagues, everyone is disrupted. I don't think it will be that difficult for them really to win the Champions League this season. The league as well on the one side, I think, I mean, they have more than enough squad to be able to play three leagues. You know, they can have certain players traveling, playing Champions League the next week. They rest them and play different players in the DStv Premiership and still win games. And that's the beauty of Sundowns having this big squad.
Shifting forward to now Kaizer Chiefs, of course, they've had a tough start to the season. Because of how things have gone, we've spent a lot of time bashing and criticizing them. But now that we've hit halfway, 15 games played, I was wondering, do you think this season that these guys can, you know, rally the troops and make a push for maybe a top four, potentially a top three? Obviously, still very much mathematically possible, but form-wise, do you think that they can turn it around and shoot for the top? Because obviously, they'd want to retain their CAF Champions League spot if possible.
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointment with this team, I think, for me, is leadership. I think some of the most of the senior players, for me, I think they have let themselves down, they've let the team down, they've let the coach down. And most of them, you can see when they're not playing that they are sulking, and they're not, they're not team players. And that's just the biggest disappointment that I observed with the current Chiefs team. Again, you see most of the time, coach has been changing, chopping and changing the team. I know some of it is because of injuries and COVID. So he's got a very difficult task on his hands, the difficult part is the young stars being consistent. And like I said, some of the senior players for me, I think, really performed below average, below their standards. And I think this is a time where the club needs them more, you know, and that's been disappointing. For me, I think possibly there is still an outside chance of them, you know, going into the top four. And even in the Champions League, for me, I think I look at this team reminds me of when we won the Mandela Cup. We had a skeleton team. We couldn't find any more players. Most of our senior players were injured as well. So by the time we played the final, we only had 14 players that could be on a team sheet on match day. But we were able to go on and win the Mandela Cup. So this team, the biggest challenge would be, the senior players coming to the party. And most of them understanding that when you're not playing, I know most of them, they're not used to sitting on the bench. And more especially, I think it's easier for a senior player, a seasoned player, to sit on the bench and be benched by another seasoned player. But now most of them that they're benched by youngsters, I think they're not taking it well.
And those youngsters are playing though, hey? You mentioned senior players. There's one in particular who I'd obviously like to ask you about. He's kind of your junior namesake, so to speak. But I know people don't like to talk about others' careers, but here's what I want to ask you. You know, he's in this, Kune is in this position where he's not starting anymore. He's still obviously widely regarded as one of the best goalkeepers in the country. In the kind of twilight years of his career, even though he did say he wants to play as long as possible, do you think he still has the chance to retire a career Chiefs player and fight his way back in, or do you think that he should move on to try and find more game time? And I ask you this because you had the almost luxury of being able to move to another big team. I don't think Kune has that luxury at the moment, but what do you think he should do in terms of just the lack of game time and his own confidence?
How old is he now?
I believe he's 33, if not 34.
Yeah, 33. I moved to Sundowns when I was 29, turning 30. I won the league twice in a row at 32 and 33. At 36, I made the Confederate Cup team at 36, you know, and I missed out on making the World Cup team at 36. And at that time, who knows, I was there with him. He knows how hard I used to work, how hard I used to push him, and Monique, how hard he's been doing his team, his national team. You know, and it's all in his head. It's all about how he needs to live himself again and forget about anything else. I don't want to talk too much about him, but for me, I think if there's one thing that I've observed that I would just advise him is sometimes you pay too much attention to what people say about you. And that's something that you can never control. And remember, people will always talk about the best. When you're not, they're not talking about you when you have to have a certain gender, the problem. So when people are talking about you because you're the best, and that's why they talk about you, and that's why when you make mistakes, because they know they expect better from you. So don't shout. Dust yourself up and go and do better. That's the advice I would give him. And like I said, he can still revive his career, Chief. He doesn't need to move. That's where his lifetime relationships, you know, friendships, so that's where he can still revive his career and play another 3-4 years. So, but it's all up to him. He needs to want it more than anything else. But at the moment, I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know if he's honest with himself. Again, it'd be, is he working as hard as he should? You know, he's facing these challenges later in his life when he's older. I face such challenges almost the rest of my career where, you know, when I achieve that national team, I would have very stiff competition to fight. That's what he needs to do. Most of his career, he's never had to fight. He's never had to fight for his position for a long time.
Should be fascinating to see how he bounces back from this. And as I let you go here, one more question about another talented goalkeeper in this country.
Yeah, but just before, with eating, for me, I'd say my advice to him as well, his fight now is more than physical, it's mental. Maybe he's putting too much pressure on himself and wanting to impress. There's nothing you can do to impress the coach on, you can't get 34, 30, 33, 34. You can't improve when you're there. So the fight is mental. And he needs to play his game. He needs to play a mental game. Starting with his teammates, and even with his opponent in the first, he needs to play more a mental game than a physical.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying it's just, and it is a thing that you mentioned earlier with the senior players, is that it just seems that they've hit a bit of a wall, and you know they tried and tested. They've shown their quality in this league, and they just need to get over that mental hump that seems to have been plaguing them since they lost the league to Sundowns last season.
I'll give you an example with me. Most of the guys, the people are playing with at Sundowns, they will tell you, when I was in the team, if I'm on the bench, yes, you get angry with the coach, you get angry with yourself, that's why, at first, then you get angry with yourself, you get to know in the morning, you know, the game that you're not playing, get angry. But by the time we go to the field, by the time you go on the bus, forget about yourself, it's not about you anymore, it's about the team. Then you get on the bus, I would sing with everyone, I would work with everyone, and I would forget about me being angry that I'm not playing. Even if you are not in the team, you go to the to camp, you go to support the team, because you are a senior player, you're the captain. It's your duty, even when you're not playing, to make sure that the team performs, to make sure that the team is motivated.
For sure. And I think everybody in this country is rooting for Itu. I don't think anybody's rooting against him. It's just, it's been disappointing to see him on the bench, especially with such a career as his, representing us at the World Cup and all of that. Like, we'd love to see him bounce back. Just before we close off the show, one more goalkeeper in this league who's obviously made a name for himself is SuperSport United's Ronwen Williams. And he has been linked. Obviously, he's now a SuperSport United captain. He's in the Bafana squad. And he's still only 28 years old. And he's been linked with this move to the United States to play in the Major League Soccer League. And that's actually a league that many South Africans have gone to over time. So I ask you, because obviously we're not here to tell people what to do, but I ask you, if you had gotten the opportunity to move to a league like that during your career, would you have gone, or is it too much of a jump? I mean, you know, MLS is not, it's not like Europe feels obvious to a lot of players. You know, I want to play in a European league. Not a lot of modern players are going to that league. Would you take that chance?
First, I'll tell you the MLS league, very underrated, one of the best leagues you'll ever watch. And so it's usually underrated. If it was me, they tell me today that there's interest in one team, I go yesterday. I would have left. there's nothing to think about. You get an opportunity of going overseas, geez, you take it. And at 28, geez, he still has, depending on how he looks after himself, if he looks after his body will look after him. He still has another 10 years, you know, of top flight football. Mm-hmm. Moving to America right now, remember, there's a lot of focus on America because the World Cup going there, 2026.
Yeah.
It's the right time to move to America right now.
For sure, and it would be fascinating to see him play in the state. You know what's fascinating is always whenever a South African leaves to a league that we don't have, somehow we manage to get them on our screen. So we might be seeing some Major League Soccer if Ronwen Williams decides to move to the MLS.
No, just that maybe it's on ESPN, but it plays at 2 hours of the morning.
Oh, yes.
Most of the time, but so mostly you watch repeats and all, but yeah, I follow Beckham's club there. I love what he does, so I'm following his club and his progress with Inter Miami.
Inter Miami, yeah. It would be I love the idea if Ronwen goes, if he plays for Major League, because we do have a few players actually South Africa who are playing in the States, but they're playing in the lower division. It would be fantastic to see Ronwen Williams play in the top division there.
He must only move only if it's in a major league. If it's lower, he mustn't go.
And those are words of advice from one of the greatest goalkeepers we have seen walk the South African football pitches. Thank you very much, Mr. Brian Baloyi, a.k.a. Spider-Man, for joining me on The Big Interview. Again, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure's mine, my brother.
The Big Interview is a team effort driven by the following incredible individuals. The show is hosted by myself, your host, Slew Paho. It is edited by our editor, Aiden Hewitt, and graphics are provided by the one and only Nino Segelen. Only on the SL Podcast, brought to you by Sokola Duma.